good morning and Shabbat Shalom to everyone. We are in the midst of a little mini revelation thing, I guess you would say. It's where we're going to be for a few weeks. I'd like to start by very brief recap of what we learned on our first one. We were told at the very beginning of it in chapter 1 that each one of us here are going to receive, it was in chapter 1 and verse 3, that each one of us here are going to receive a blessing for the reading and the hearing of this book of prophecy. And we have been, and it's confirmed at the beginning of it, that this is a revelation of the Messiah, the Son, which God gave to him. So when we go through Revelation, we know this is the Son speaking to John, a message directly from the Father. So it's very important. And as we saw when we went through the messages to the churches, it cannot be disputed when we look at verses such as 2 and 15 or 16, where he says, repent then, if not, I will come soon. And in verse 25, hold fast to what you have until I come. Over and over throughout the messages to the church, he repeats that theme, as in 3 and 3, he says, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come. In verse 10, or verse 11, he says, I am coming soon. Hold fast to that what you have. So as we go through this, we've already established there's no denying that the message in Revelation is a message to us in the end times. Some preach that it was a message for 2,000 years ago. He didn't return 2,000 years ago. So this is a message for those of us who may be lucky enough to be alive at his return. Certainly for those that are living close to the time of his return. I think we believe that we are close to that time. We do not know what day it will happen, but we believe we are getting close. And very importantly, we saw two churches that he found no fault with. The church of Smyrna. And to Smyrna, he said in 2 and 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer, because the devil is about to throw some of you in prison so that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have affliction. So he told the church of Smyrna that they were going to have affliction and go through the trials. And then the church of Philadelphia, he told the other one he found no fault with, he told a very different story too. Church of Philadelphia, he says, starting in 9, verse 9, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word of patience and endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may not seize your crown. He told them at the beginning of that, back in verse 8, that he had an open door for them. It's not a popular teaching. Some people believe in the tribulation and that all the church has taken out before. Some people believe that all of the church goes through the tribulation. I think we have saw two groups of people there at the end times who he made two very different promises to. One, he promised them they would go through. The other, he promised that he had an open door for them and they would not go through. It's going to be important to remember as we move along in Revelation, because we're fixing to see some more on that. And we're going to pick up this morning and go over chapter 4 and then start into verse 5. Chapter 4, Revelation. After this I looked, and there in heaven a door stood open. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit. And there in heaven stood a throne with one seated on the throne. And the one seated on the throne looks like jasper and carnelian. And around the throne is a rainbow that looks like an emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones. Seated on the 24 thrones are 24 elders dressed in white robes with golden crowns on their heads. Coming from the throne are flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder, and in front of the throne burn seven flaming torches, which are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne there is something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Now, before we read on about the creatures that are around the throne, these 24 elders that we see seated on 24 thrones, I think a couple of scriptures that we're going to look at may be very relevant to these 24 elders. So we're going to turn to Luke chapter 13 briefly. And we're going to read verse 28. Luke 13 and 28 says, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of heaven, and you yourselves thrown out." I read that because, interestingly enough, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets equal 24 people. And we see in Matthew chapter 27, verses 51, starting in verse 51. In fact, let's start in verse 50, because it tells us when the Messiah died. "Then Yeshua cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many." So we know when he died that there were some folks that came out of their graves, and at his resurrection they were raised with him. And the word there that is used for those in the Greek, when you go look it up, and you can look it up when you get home, when it speaks of those saints that were resurrected with him, the word can also mean forefathers. It's kind of interesting. It's worth looking at. and see what you think about it. So I think we very possibly know who these 24 elders may be that are sitting on these 24 thrones dressed in white robes. I strongly suspect that they are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets. Now, it tells us, around the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with a face like a human face, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night without ceasing, they sang, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who's seated on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who's seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crown before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive honor and glory and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Now, these creatures that are around the throne, I've heard a lot of people have a lot of different theories about them. The Bible makes it very clear who they are, or not particularly their names, but what they are. When we go back to Ezekiel, anytime you want to look at it, Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10, these same creatures are described. Clearly, they're some of God's heavenly hosts, some of his angels, so to speak. And they worship around the throne day and night without ceasing. They sing. And as for the seven spirits that are around the throne, anytime you want to look at the list of those, that is in Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 2, it lists those seven spirits, each one of them what they are. Now in chapter 5, we start off. "Then I saw in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." So it's upset John very much, weeping bitterly. "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. He has overcome so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.'" Now we know who the Lion of the tribe of Judah is, don't we? Yeshua the Messiah. He is the Root of David. And he is the one who came here and he overcome. He conquered. Because of that, he is found worthy. Also, I would like to point out the fact that one of the elders said to him, show us that these are 24 unique individuals capable of individual thought and movement. Verse 6, "Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out unto all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Amen. So he has seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits that are sent out from God to the whole earth. We know that seven is God's number of completion, is it not? Horns represent power. Eyes represent the ability to see. What we have here is we have the Lamb of God, the Messiah, Yeshua, and we're being told that he has been given absolute power. He has overcome, he has earned absolute power and the ability to see the whole earth and everything going on in it. And you know, we see throughout the scriptures, oftentimes, people who think they can hide something from God. But not only the Father, but our Savior, the one who redeems us, sees every move that we make. Nothing is secret from Him. So we talked this morning a little bit about deception in our Torah study. And you cannot deceive God. Abraham deceived the Pharaoh, but we cannot deceive God. Many people operate like they think that we can, but we cannot. And I'd also like to point out one other thing here from what we've just read. When it tells us that the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now we all know about the altar and taking the coals and lifting the incense up. But I would like for us to look at Psalms 141, verses 1 and 2. As I call upon you, O Lord, come quickly to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting of my hands as an evening sacrifice. So we see very clearly that this is not a new theory, this being the prayers of the saints. In fact, the psalmist was praying that his would be incense before the Lord. But all the elders and the living creatures, they sang a new song, starting in verse 9. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe, language, and people and nation. You have made us to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on the earth. So who's this message for? Who's the Messiah for? He's for everyone. He is ransomed for God, saints from every tribe, language, and people and nation. In every tribe, language, people, and nation means every. And it's hard for us sometimes to accept that. Because when we look at the Middle East and we look at some of those nations, ISIS, those guys that we spoke about earlier, it's hard for us to feel like they're the ones that we're supposed to be witnessing to. And trying to share the gospel of the Messiah risen with, isn't it? But as we already read in here, and we will read again, he tells us to be faithful even unto death. So even if they were killing you, you should be testifying that the Lamb of God came and died for them. And we need to always remember that, because it might not be ISIS in our life, but there may be a situation in our life similar to that at some point in time. And we want to be like that thief on the cross who in the last hour of his life was thinking good thoughts. We don't want to be like the other one who was mocking to death. We don't want to be the one who, out of fear, thinks we might save our mortal life here and lose our eternal life. Always remember that he is for everyone, and it's our responsibility to make that clear. And verse 11, then I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels surrounding the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and they numbered myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all of them singing, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessings and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So not only does every person upon the face of this earth belong to him, every creature on this earth belongs to him. You know, we proudly, after we come to him, we proudly tell people we belong to him. But you realize we belong to him before we come to him. Now, we may not accept it. And he may, if we do not accept it, have to destroy us. But he has the authority to destroy us because we belong to him. You can't change that fact. You can choose to spend eternity with him, or you can choose the lake of fire, but you can't change the fact you belong to him. So that's why he has authority to do one or the other with you. And we should all be falling down and worshiping him, shouldn't we? Daily, hourly, minutely. Now in chapter 6, we're going to start reading about the seven seals. And I think it's very interesting when we read these seven seals, about these seven seals. We can kind of look at them and debate in our minds what stage we're at here, because we know some of them have already been opened, but we know they haven't all been opened yet. Chapter 6, he says, then I saw the Lamb of God open one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures call out with a voice of thunder, come. I looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to it, and he came out conquering to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, come. And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people would slaughter one another. And he was given a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature call out, come. I looked, and there was a black horse. Its riders held a pair of scales in its hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's pay and three quarts of barley for a day's pay, but do not damage the olive oil and the wine. Now, before we go into the fourth seal, we think, when we read this one here, we know from Genesis 18 and 6 that these 3 quarts of barley, it's a quart of wheat and 3 quarts of barley for a day's pay, represent one meal. The Bible always interprets itself, and we know when we read Genesis 18 and 6 that that's one meal. So we think, okay, we can't be to that point yet because we don't it don't take us a day's pay to buy one meal. But when we think that, we're very narrow-minded. I have, and I'm sure there are many others, but I have, from very minor research on the matter, written down 5 countries where the average person is lucky to earn 1 meal a day. And just those 5 are the Democratic Republic of Congo, Liberia, Zimbabwe, Burundi, and the Central African Republic. For example, in the Burundi, it's B-U-R-U-N-D-I, 80% of that country lives in poverty. 57% of the children under 5 years of age suffer from chronic malnutrition. In Liberia, 85% of the population have to manage to live on below $1 a day. And I'm sure there are a lot of countries besides these 5 that would apply to. See, we have a problem here in America. We think that the prophecy in the Bible only applies to us. It applies to the whole world. So this seal may very well have already been opened. And verse 7, he says, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature call out, "Come." I looked, and there was a pale green horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed with him. And they were given authority over the fourth of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and pestilence, and by the wild animals of the earth. Now, that is a pretty bad prophecy that we know is to come. Not sure whether it has come or not, but I don't think we can rule out the possibility. Because when we look around, there is a whole lot of famine that are killing people. A whole lot of people are dying by the sword. And there's a lot of pestilence. And it says by the wild animals of the earth. And do you know, it's one of those things, because everybody goes for the PETA and loving the animals and stuff. But you know, over the last decade, that animal attacks in the United States have spiked strongly upward. 4.7 million Americans were attacked by dogs last year. I think that's a lot to think about. So it may very well be that the animals of the earth are starting to be affected by this prophecy. And sadly, and I know David works at a hospital, and I'm sure he saw some of those dog attacks. And sadly, the ones that we hear about are the children. And it's pretty common now to hear about a child being attacked and oftentimes killed by dogs that were supposedly pets. So, you know, there's a possibility that that fourth seal has been opened, I believe. Now, in verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered for the word of God and the testimony they had given. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge and avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth?" They were given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number would be complete, both of their fellow servants and of their brothers and sisters who were soon to be killed as they themselves had been killed. Now we know that in times past, there's been periods of history where a lot of Christians were killed for the sake of Christ. And I believe what we have here when it's talking about their souls crying out, I think we have the same thing that is referenced when the Lord said that Abel's blood cried out from the earth. It may not necessarily mean that they are physically crying out. White robes do indicate that they have been given salvation. So we know that these are people who were saved for dying for his testimony. And we also know that we're told there that at the opening of that fifth seal, after that fourth seal has been opened, at the opening of that fifth seal, that he tells them to rest a little longer. And throughout the Bible, death is referred to as sleep, many, many scriptures. And he tells them basically sleep a little longer until the number would be complete of their fellow servants and brothers and sisters who would soon be killed as they themselves have been killed. So that does indicate very strongly to us that we are close, very close, to a time where a lot of people are going to die for the testimony of the Messiah. And we see it happening already. I mean, we see videos of Coptic Christians being lined up on beaches, calling out to Yeshua HaMashiach as they're being beheaded. So it is happening around the world. Could happen here. I don't know that it will, but it could. Some people think that prophecy only happens in America, and some people think prophecy doesn't affect America. I think it affects the whole world. So it could happen here. And now here is a seal that we know has not been opened. I think as we come down through here, we can debate the possibility that the first five may have been opened. But we're fixing to read about the sixth seal, and the sixth seal has not been opened. So when they preach to you that his return might be today, know that it's inaccurate because there's still a couple of seals at least to be opened. Now, your end might be today, so certainly walk like it is. Walk closely with him. Verse 12, when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and there came a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its winter fruit when shaking by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll rolling itself up, and every mountain and island were removed from its place. So this earthquake is so violent that it changes the locations of islands and mountains. It does not say it does away with them, but it literally moves them out of their place. Then the kings of the earth and the magnates and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone slave and free hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come. Who is able to stand? So they believe that the end is there. Of course, we know there's still another seal to be opened, but at that point, they believe the end is there. And interestingly enough, most here probably know this, but where it talks about them hiding in the mountains, even here in the United States and out in Denver, starting from the Denver airport there, they have elaborate underground tunnel systems and cities and stuff for the rich of the world to go when catastrophe hits. John prophesied 2,000 years ago they'd be hiding in the mountains. All they're doing when they build these cities in the mountains is fulfilling prophecy without knowing it. But I present to you today, and I think you would agree, that seal has not yet been opened. So we can debate the possibility of the first five. We look at the things and the signs in the world. It's very possible the first five have been opened. Number six has not been opened. We have people on TV. We have people standing in churches screaming that the end is here. That we had four blood moons and he's coming back tomorrow. Impossible. The sixth seal has not been opened. Now, it could happen quickly. The sixth seal could happen tomorrow. I don't know. But even when it does, the end is not yet. As we read there, a lot of people are going to think the end is there when the sixth seal is opened. Now, when the sixth seal is opened and this mighty earthquake happens, then chapter 7 tells us some interesting things that happen along with that. After this, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind could blow on the earth or sea or against any tree. I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to damage the earth and sea, saying, "Do not damage the earth or the sea or the trees until we have marked the servants of our God with the seal on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the people of Israel. So out of the bloodlines of Israel, we see from the tribe of Judah, 12,000. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. The tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. Did you notice something interesting there out of those 12? Before we speak about this multitude right below them there, Dan is left out. Dan has been replaced by Manasseh in that list here in the end days prophecy. And you know, all the way back in Genesis, when Jacob prophesied about the 12, he prophesied that Dan would be a viper beside the path for them. I think very much when we read that prophecy from Jacob, it was prophesied that Dan would be left out, that he would no longer be a part of it. Because what does the viper represent? Represents the other guy, does it not? And that Dan would be a viper beside the path for the other tribes. But for whatever reason, we know that God's word is true and accurate. And we know that in the very end, the tribe of Dan is replaced by the tribe of Manasseh. It's in the Word of God, so we don't question it. Now, so we see 144,000, 12,000 from each bloodline tribe sealed right after the six seals opening. And then in verse 9, we see something very interesting. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hand. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." Where are these people at? They're in heaven. And the world hasn't come yet. They're already there. And the great multitude, when you look up that Greek word, it means many common people. So this isn't angels at this point we're talking about. There is a great multitude of people at that point in heaven. So I would present to you that along with these 144,000 people, that promise that we saw made to the church of Philadelphia back there, that there was an open door for them and they would not have to go through the trial, has been fulfilled here after the opening of the sixth seal. They're not going to go through the trial because they are out of here. Now, I am not one who believes that the whole church is gone before the tribulation, because we're fixing to continue reading. We're going to go a little bit further today, and then next week we will pick up with it. But we're going to continue reading, and we're going to see very clearly that God's people are still on earth after this. But remember, Smyrna was promised they would go through the trials. Philadelphia was promised they would not. And we also see as we continue on in Revelation that people still have a chance to repent. If people have a chance to repent, God needs people here to witness to them, does he not? So for us to believe that all of the church is out of here before the real trouble starts would be very inaccurate. But I think for us to dismiss the ideal that some are may be just as inaccurate. Because these people thought the end of the world had come when the sixth seal was opened. And if these people believe in this tribulation that everyone, rapture that everyone talks about, and if we're correct here in Philadelphia, may be out of here at that point, that would be one of the reasons they'd think it was over, wouldn't they? If a lot of people disappeared and this big earthquake happened. Now, so they're singing, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And also on that 144,000, we will see a very special purpose for them as we go along in Revelation. We know that they're taking out of here too, because they are later found standing with Yeshua before the end. So, verse 11. "And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, singing, 'Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying," see, one of the elders comes to John here and he says, "Who are these robed in white and where are they from?" Now, he asked John that question that he knows John doesn't know the answer to, because he knows that at this point, John's probably confused, thinking, where did these people come from? John says to him, "I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one that knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" What did he just say? This great ordeal we see going on in the world when that sixth seal is opened, these are the ones that have come out of it. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And this is occurring before the opening of the seventh seal. This is occurring well before the very end of the world, as we know it. And I think that is plenty to think on. And we will pause here. And next week, we will pick up in chapter 8. And any visitors that we have here who are interested in hearing the end of our, or the continuing on of our Revelation study, we do have a podcast. I'm not real familiar with how to sign on to it and stuff, but David could instruct you if you have interest in hearing the ending of it. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll stand and read our blessings. Dear gracious and loving Father in heaven, hallowed and honored be thy name, Father. We thank you and we praise you and we give you honor and glory. We love you, and we understand the love that you have for us by sending your Son to die for us, even though we weren't worthy. And we praise you for everything, and we humbly ask that you send your Spirit to guide each one of us here as we go through this world. Keep our hearts and our minds open to your truths and your knowledge and your wisdom. Guide us in every step that we take. Help us to shine your light that others might be drawn, and when they are, give us the wisdom and the words to say. We thank you and praise you for all things through Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Let's read our blessings together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.